Thanks for checking out the Relevant Life Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved and that wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you and challenges you. Now, here's this week's message.
Worship team, what an amazing worship set. You guys can have a seat. Yeah, you can clap. It's good. It's like the half clap that finally goes to a partial clap. Finally got a woo. It's good stuff. I love this worship set. I love these songs. Any time or place that I get to really worship Jesus is just a really good place, really good time. If you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor David Sasser. If you know me well enough, you'll know that I don't have my glasses on this week. And yeah, that's what it is. I also cut my hair, so that's another new thing. But yeah, I got LASIK surgery this last Tuesday. Right? Yeah, so I will hopefully be without glasses for a very long time.
Awesome.
Right? So I will be greeting you eyes wide open. Nothing in between us at this point. So it's a good time. So we're still announcing that our lead pastors are on a vacation this month. They will be returning to us soon. Please continue to pray for them. Please continue to reach out for them. There's an aspect that you're responsible for of pastoral care. Right. If you love your pastor, tell them that you love them.
That's good.
It's like if you love your wife or your husband, or your brother or sister, anyone. If you love them, you're going to miss out if you don't tell them that you love them. So reach out to them. Social media, on if you have his number, her number, give him a text, something like that on Messenger. It's just a good way to love and to care for our pastor. So we're stepping back into our series, Heart for the House. Okay. And to better understand that, we're talking about the house of God, the church of Jesus Christ. Our tagline is developing a sincere understanding and devotion for the local church. And we have a verse that goes along with this. It's Matthew 16:18. It's Jesus saying, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we have a duty to steward this church. But on the other hand, Jesus was the one that established it. And nothing, say nothing, nothing will destroy it. And we have that in writing. In Matthew. So our series goals, same every week, same series goals, is to teach us a love and passion for the global church and an understanding of what the church is. And even more specifically, to share the core values of our local community, RLC, and how we are accomplishing the mandate of the church Jesus Christ called us to be. So in this, there's an importance factor here. So there's an importance to the church because Jesus established it. There's meaning behind it. There's a reason why it's here. Okay. A lot of people, you know, can say, well, the church is dying or whatever. That's not true because Jesus established it. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's nothing that will destroy the church. But there's more that we can do as a body to learn and love and grow in this community that we call the church. So there's something that we have to do inside of it. And so this week we're talking about the aspect of serving. In the last couple of weeks, we've talked about, and in week one, we talked about Christ-centeredness and having Christ be the center of who we are. And then that's who the church is supposed to be centered around, is Jesus Christ. He established the church, so we maintain him at the center of the church. And then last week, Trenton came and talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit and what that looks like in our local community, how to be more connected to the Holy Spirit with the rhythms that we go through, the relationship that we maintain with him, the obedience of our lives to maintain a better connection with the Holy Spirit, and then the consecration. The more we separate ourselves from the world, the closer we become with the Holy Spirit and God. So this week we are stepping into serving, and it's kind of weird, right? You're like, Jesus, Holy Spirit, boom, serving, right? Well, serving's important. Is serving important to the church? Because without people participating and serving in the church doesn't function well. It's like the church has a limp right now. Without full participation, the church is just limping along. Well, last night I had a great opportunity to serve my wife. The problem is I didn't want to serve my wife last night. So yesterday was opening day of hunting season. Okay, we had a great day, saw lots of animals, really close opportunities. Not me in particular, but some of the group. So it was a fun day. We had a good time. Well, had to come back early because I wanted to make sure to prepare this message well and be ready for you guys and your eyeballs this morning, okay? As you look back at me and wonder, what is he talking about? Well, I wanted to make sure that I knew what I was talking about. So I came back early, studying, preparing last night, going through everything again, and I was exhausted. I fell asleep early, woke back up in time to go to bed, right? Has anyone done that before? You wake up just in time to go to bed? That's the best. So go upstairs. Tiffany and I are crawling into bed together. A little TMI. No. So we're laying there and she's just like, I could hear her kind of like, and she's wrestling around bed. And she's like, my back, like my shoulders are just killing me. She's like, can you rub my shoulder? Well, it's 11 o'clock, okay? So I'm going to try to get you on my side here. So it's 11 o'clock. I've hunted half the day. And there's towing the trailer. That's stressful. I had to come back and prepare this message. So I've got the weight of the word on me. And if you haven't done that before, there's a weight that comes along with that and a responsibility. And I just had LASIK and my eyes are really dry. Like that has a lot to do with this right now. But I was really like, really? What do you even consider my problems right now? I mean, my back hurts a little. You're not rubbing my back, right? So then God was like, aren't you talking about serving tomorrow? I was like, yes. And so begrudgingly, I started rubbing her back and I was like, okay, where? And she's like, I'll show you. So she kind of, and so I'm rubbing her back and rubbing it for like 10 minutes. Cause I'm like, God convicted me. I'm going to do this well, right? 10 minutes. I'm getting it. And she's like, oh, and you know, you got the spot, you know? And then she's like, hey, can you rub the other side? Cause that's where it really hurts. And I'm like, seriously. And I'm like, could you have told me that before? She's like, I think I did, but you weren't listening. And I'm like, okay, all right. So another 10 minutes goes by, arms falling asleep. Anyway, so I served my wife last night. I did not serve her well, okay? She appreciated it. She thanked me this morning. She's actually traveling this morning. She's going up to Yakima to see one of her friends' 40th birthday. So wish her well as well. Safe travels. She'll be coming back tomorrow. Has nothing to do with this sermon. Just want to let you know. Not that we have an argument and she's just not here supporting me today. So we're stepping into serving. Okay. So first we want to define this word serve, to serve. So it's to perform duties or services for another person or an organization, to present food or drink to someone, right? So it's an action you're doing for someone or something. And I want to start with, who do we serve, right? Because I want to start with a really solid foundation. And the person we serve, I hope you have heard this in every aspect, and we talked about it 2 weeks ago, this Christ-centeredness. We serve this person called Jesus Christ, this Godhead three in one, this entity that is God, all encompass of God, of the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That is who we serve. And for that, I brought a scripture. It's Joshua 24:15. It says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I'm sure some of you might even have this posted on your wall at your house. I pray to God that you're living it out. But in this church, in this house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Yes. Amen. So that, and with that, there's a lot to do with that. There's more aspects of that, of who do we serve, and we'll be breaking that down. But secondly, why do we serve? Okay, so who do we serve, but why do we serve? And there's some practical reasons kind of why we serve. Well, Jesus has given us this church, okay? And a lot of times we as people think that the church is the buildings that we meet in, but it's not. It's the people. We are the church, okay? But there are buildings that we meet in, correct? Right. And at Relevant Life Church, we actually have two buildings, two facilities, two separate areas in town. So first of all, I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't been to our South Campus, if you've only been here, I encourage you to go over and see our other half, okay? You only know half of Relevant Life Church if you've only been here. So to really know your church, to fall in love with your church, know your church, okay? So we have two beautiful campuses. You guys enjoy this campus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thousands and thousands of people, maybe not thousands and thousands, but there's been a lot of people throughout many, many years since Relevant Life Church, which was Calvary Temple, which was, right? So there's a progression. It's still the same church. Thousands of people have invested and served to make this church what it is today. We have served to make this campus beautiful. We took an entire summer. We met every Saturday and we gave and gave and gave, and we destroyed part of this building to build it back to be what it is today. And there was hundreds of people that would come out and serve in just that one summer. But we're here to also not just steward the buildings that we're in, but to steward our community of believers, the actual church. Because you come with problems, right? We all come with problems, but there are other people with problems. If everyone has a problem, that means the person sitting on your left or your right has a problem, okay? And can you be the solution to that problem? In an acting effort of you stepping out and being a reflection of Jesus Christ, can you speak to their life? Can you step in and serve them in a way that meets their need? Can you do that? And then you've heard the term, it's a, maybe you've heard the term, it's more of a term dealing with realty stuff. It's location, location, location. Well, God has set us up in this amazing, wonderful city of Salem. It's the capital of Oregon. It's where so many decisions are made. God has placed us here to steward our location, to serve our city. Because it says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am." So when we gather in this place, we are bringing God into the city of Salem. His presence is with us. And therefore, his presence is in this city. So we are serving God by keeping his presence in this town. And we're also here to serve. Why do we serve? To move God's mission forward. When we serve here on Sundays, when we do special events and you guys serve, as you give your tithes and offerings, this all helps to move God's agenda forward, okay? To seek and to save the lost. There's outreaches, there's missions that we give to, and you guys give to. And one of the last ones here is God tells us to serve. There's a mandate in the Bible. And John 12:26 says, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." God tells you to serve. As you serve, you grow with God. It's a relationship. And then our true act of worship. This is another reason why we serve. Because we serve, we're actually worshiping God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It's Romans 12:1. As we serve, we are worshiping God, our one true God, the one who we are centered around. See, I can tell my wife that I love her, and I do frequently, probably too much. She's probably annoyed at me sometimes because I kind of make fun and I joke with it. But I tell my wife, I tell my girls a lot that I love them. And that's fine. But if I never showed them that I love them, then they wouldn't experience the love. They would know of a love. But until you experience, until somebody takes action, until you come and you serve and you tell our community that you love them by giving of yourself. Billy Graham actually says the highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. Unselfish Christian service. That is the highest form of worship. I love that. I love that quote. So true and proper service takes a focus off of ourselves and places it on something that can be eternally impactful, right? You give your money for eternal reward. You give your life for eternal reward. You sacrifice now because later you want the reward of eternal life in heaven. But how do we know how to serve, right? We've already talked about who we serve, why we serve, but how do we know how to serve? Where do we find the knowledge or example from that? Well, what I did is I figured that our best example of service is coming from this person, this God in man form. His name is Jesus. Because Jesus is our ultimate example of service. A man came, a man that came from God, so half man, half God, came and gave his life in service for not just the people of his time, but for people of every generation from now to eternity. But Jesus came to serve first and foremost. In both Matthew 20:28 and Mark 10:45, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He didn't sit on the sideline. He was very active in his service to God. He was very much a participant in God's plan. He was very on mission. He took what God wanted above what he wanted and served God to make sure that that happened. And in Luke 22:42, it says, Father, if you are willing, and this is Jesus, before he was taken to the cross, he knew he was going to be taken. He knew he was going to be beaten and hung on this cross. But he comes to God and he said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. In the light of death, in the light of crucifixion, Jesus didn't shy away from God's mission. He said, God, even if I die, and I know I will, I still want what you want above what I want. He was never sidetracked by what this world would offer. See, our world today would offer a lot more than what his world would offer then. We have tons of entertainment. I mean, you could sit and watch YouTube probably the rest of your life and never watch the same video ever again. You could fill your time with all of these things that are maybe about you or somebody else's agenda for you. But Jesus wasn't about that. He didn't let the world that he was in dictate what he did. He was all about serving God. And then Jesus gave it all for us. This life that was serving was for us. Like I said before, not just for then, but for now. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." Forever. That's you. That's me. He did this forever until the end of time, until God sends Jesus back again. Jesus has done this for everyone. Jesus was humble. He served in a humility-focused way. He didn't come and say, this is all about Jesus now. You know, and it was one of those things that I really, really fought with. I have a pride issue, as a lot of people do. And I have to really, a lot of times, swallow my pride. And it's hard because I get to stand up on stage. God has blessed me with so many opportunities, and I get to stand before you, and I could easily come to you and say, this is about me. Look at me. I've made it. I'm standing in front of hundreds of people delivering God's word. I can come up here and sing on the worship team and lead songs, but I have to humbly come back and go, no, God, this isn't about me. I have to continually give it back to God and go, no, you're the focus. You're the center. I am here to serve one, and that one is you. Keeping it Christ-centered. Christ-centered means just that, keeping Jesus at the center of our service. But what's our problem? What's the problem? Not just with Relevant Life Church. And I would like to think that Relevant Life Church does it better than most, but maybe we don't, right? Maybe it's just my way of thinking. But what's the problem with church in general? Jesus's church. What's the problem with people in Jesus's church? Why won't they give? Why don't they serve? Why aren't they sacrificial? It's not normal. It goes against everything that humanity tells us. Humanity tells us to get and to be self-focused and to only think about the things that I want and the things that I want for my wife and my kids. These are the things I focus on. But God is contrary to that. God comes and says, no, this world is not meant for you. There's a slide that I want to bring up here. It says, how Americans experience and express their faith. This is from a Barna research poll that they did. And I think it's a 2017 poll. And it says that 75% of people pray to God, which I thought that was pretty good. That's 75%. That's 3/4 of people pray to God. So maybe if you divide this church and take a little bit of the back few rows, that many people pray to God. Well, you guys are out of it. You guys need to step up and pray to God. I'm just saying. 75% of people. That's pretty good. But then I think about what kind of prayers they're praying. Are they selfish prayers? Are they self-seeking prayers? We don't know. 35% attend a church service. 34% read the Bible. Now we're getting down there. 19% volunteer to nonprofit. 18% volunteers at church. 17% attend adult Sunday school. And is that 16? Sorry, LASIK, 16% attend a small group. These are, as far as people stepping out and doing and actually putting their faith into action, as soon as that starts to happen and you say, hey, Jesus is asking me to do something, you can see the percentages start to drop. And it's sad. 18% volunteer at church. I don't know if we've reached that number here. I don't have those statistics for you for Relevant Life Church. But I tell you, if only 18% of you are serving, our church has a limp. We're not doing what we could be doing. To me, this shows a lack of Christ-centeredness, a lack of Christ really being the center of my life, as the center of your life, because it doesn't just we're all a body. So if one part of the body is broken or hurting or not functioning well, then like I said before, we have a limp. The body's not functioning well. We're hurting in some way. So you can't say it's not my responsibility to keep Christ the center, because we are all part of the same body. Shows a lack of spiritual growth. You could be 80 years old and follow Christ all of your life and still be a child in God's eyes. If you're not pursuing God and what He wants for you and stepping out in the acts of service, if you're not showing up for Wednesday and praying for others and actually doing the things that God has called you to do in this thing called serving, then you're not going to grow. You're missing a part of this relationship. And one of the hard ones is we think that we can retire from service from God. We think that God is maybe done with us, that we have had many, many years of great service to God. But does God tell you to stop? Is it written in His word that once you've reached age 65, you can retire? God doesn't call us to retirement. God calls us to service. When I get older, this is my goal. When I get older, I don't want 10 or 20% of my time going to God. I want to be completely, fully invested in what He's doing. Yeah, I still want to have fun. I still want to enjoy my retirement. I still want to do the things that I want to do, but I want to make sure that my priorities are set correctly. I want to make sure that I'm investing in younger leaders. I want to make sure that I'm not just focused on vacationing or being away or whatever. I want to make sure God is still the center. And then on the other aspect of that, as far as like still being a baby in Jesus in relationship, maybe you're a person that is newer to this thing called church. Maybe you have or have not accepted Jesus Christ in your life. And maybe you just haven't got this heart for the house yet. Maybe you don't understand why you're here. Maybe you don't understand why Relevant Life Church is here. What good are we doing? Well, that's why we're here doing this sermon series. We're trying to help you in understanding why God has called you to His church, why God has called us to the church. The problem is you're a consumer versus a participant. When we participate in something, we're taking action and we're actually involved and there's relationships that are being built. If we're a consumer, then we show up for Sundays, maybe we'll give some tithes and offerings, and then we go and we do whatever we want to do the rest of the week. And that's a problem. That's a problem because all you're doing is you're sucking from the church and you're not putting anything back in. If you can only come on Sundays and fill your tank and barely make it through the week, maybe your relationship with Jesus Christ is suffering on your own. Maybe the problem's not the church and what the church can do for you. Maybe the problem is you're not doing what you need to be doing for the church. So as we look at really what this aspect of serving is for this house, for Relevant Life Church, I'm going to read you our core value for serving. Okay, so you can go on our website, Relevant Life Church. Is it RLC, Relevant Life Church? You'll find it. Just Google it. And you can go on there and you can find all of our core values. And you can read them. You can see what we're all about. I encourage you to do that as we're going through this sermon series. But I'm going to go ahead and take the liberty and read this to you. So this is core value statement for serving for Relevant Life Church. Endeavoring to meet the needs of others through giving of ourselves and our resources. endeavoring to meet the needs of others through giving of ourselves and our resources. And this is based out of Mark 10, 43, 44, which says, not so with you. Well, this sounds really contrary to what we're talking about. But let me give you some context. So this is Jesus is saying this, and he's saying it to his 12 disciples. Okay, well, two of his disciples, James and John, came and said, hey, Jesus, we want you to do us a favor. Okay, whenever we get to this place where you are ruling king, we want to be at your left and your right hand. And Jesus said, really, that's not up to me. God is the one that positions whoever will be seated. And what happens after that is the other 10 disciples comes up and like, hey, what are you guys talking about? Like, oh, nothing. And then this kind of fight for position starts. And they're like, well, no, I mean, what about me? I want to be first. I want to sit there. Well, Jesus comes back with this statement and he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you but must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Not so with you. This is a heart of who we are and what we do. We seek to save the lost at Relevant Life Church. We steward what we have been given by God, and we move God's agenda forward. And we can only do that together as a community that serves. Even our mission statement calls us to do, to action, to service, connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. This word connecting, it's connecting with God. It calls us to serve because connecting and serving God are the same thing. Because serving with God strengthens our relationship with God. We have this connection and this relationship that ebbs and flows, and he does something and we do something, rather than just using God as a source of something. We can actually be used by God as well. Relating to people. So Relevant Life Church, we're like a corporation. Okay, we're a nonprofit organization. That's what we're labeled. So we don't really have a product to sell. Our product really is people. It's you. That's what we're here for. It's the only thing we're here for, is people. We cannot relate to people without working shoulder to shoulder with people. If you're not participating in the day-to-day things of Relevant Life Church, if you're not serving in some aspect of the church, then you're missing working with some of the greatest people that I know. And maybe my context is small. I don't know. But I love serving with you guys. And then reaching, this is the Great Commission, to seek and to save the lost. And Relevant Life Church, if it's limping, it's not going to be able to reach very far. So why we serve at Relevant Life Church? This goes back to our core value statement, endeavoring to meet the needs of others and giving through ourselves and our resources. So what I did is I broke this statement down into three separate categories. And these are the main points of this message today. So the first one is to endeavor. Okay, so endeavor defined as try hard to do or achieve something. That's a pretty easy definition. You just got to try really hard to get it done. That's endeavoring. Hebrews 13:16 says, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. God loves our service. He loves our sacrifices. It is pleasing to him. Good. Even if it's hard. Has anybody served in any area or aspect and it was yet a hard day? Anybody served in children's ministry? You're going to have a hard day. Served in youth ministry. Served in adult ministry. You can have a hard day. You can have a hard time. But do you think Jesus had a hard time fighting against everything that the world was at the time? You imagine fighting against an entire culture, fighting against an entire religion. That's what he did. It was hard, but he didn't stop. Even when we're tired. I served my wife so well last night when I was tired. I did it. I didn't do it right, but I did it. Even when you're tired, even when you wake up Sunday morning and go, oh man, I'm on prayer team today. I have to show up for both services. Even when you're tired. Even when it means we have to show up. Because at Relevant Life Church, we ask you to show up when you serve and when you don't serve. Because we believe that if you're in one service serving in children's ministry or whatever, we want you to be at the next service because we want you to have what you need to have. Yeah. We want the word in your life. We want you to participate in every aspect of our church. Even when we have to give our money. Oh no, he said money. Even when we have to give our money. Yes, people need to get paid. Fortunately, we have a very small staff, like 5 staff members that lead this entire church with 2 campuses. Thank God he has equipped us with amazing, talented people. Right? Now, I was just seeking some applause there. Even if we have to give our money, it's one of those things that we can hold on to really, really tightly. But Jesus wants us to have a loose hand when it comes to money. When there's a special project, when there's a special need. Did you know that Relevant Life Church, as of right now, we're on goal and on mission to give the most we've ever given to missions this year? That's exciting. You guys should be excited about that. The money that we gave to Hope, Africa's Hope, and everything that's going to change lives. Every dollar that you give is a dollar that says, you know what? This dollar could save somebody's life from the eternal damnation of hell. What about your comfort? Can you endeavor in your comfort? If it's uncomfortable, we don't like doing it. I have back issues, and there's a lot of times where I'm uncomfortable. But I still have to do things. I still have to go to work. I still have to do yard work. It's taking that uncomfortable and not making that an excuse. Not living in this way of going, you know what, I'm super uncomfortable with this, so I'm not going to do it anymore. I can't handle the pressure. Some of the people are hard to get along with. I can't do it. I'm completely uncomfortable. And you stop serving. But God doesn't call us to comfort. He calls us to action. What about when it's inconvenient? When you've got something else planned? What about when you're on a ministry schedule already? What if you're already serving and then something comes up and you're like, oh man, there's this concert or, oh, you know what? I'm going to see if somebody can fill my spot. I'm not saying that that's wrong, but where are your priorities? Where are your priorities? Are you prioritizing the mission of God? Are you prioritizing your church family? If you look around this room, there are a lot of people with need. And if you're not here, maybe one of those needs goes unmet. And that leads us to the next one, which is meet the need. Because life isn't just about you. As odd as that may sound, as odd as that may sound to your brain, because every morning my first thought is not you, okay? My first thought is me. How am I feeling? What am I doing? What do I have to do? How is that uncomfortable? How am I inconvenienced by this? Because life is not about us. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. What if we all did that? Maybe you wouldn't have to be so concerned with yourself because somebody else is already taking care of you. The community of God is all about service to one another, making someone else more of a priority. And what about the blessings that God has given us, the talents that we have, the ways that we can serve? Maybe you have a beautiful voice. Talk to Trenton. Maybe you have some skills with your hands. Talk to the building care team. Maybe you have just a heart and a passion for kids. Come up here and talk to Allie. Get involved. If you have some areas that you'd like to serve during the week because you have some time, talk to Julie. Maybe we can get you involved in some aspect of the church because you have something to give. It doesn't always have to be money. Do we need money? Yes, we need money. But we need your hands. We need your feet. We need your heart a part of our church. Yeah. Jesus needs you in this church. Jesus's church needs you. It's like that old army poster, and they're pointing at you, and we need you, right? We need you in this place, serving, making it better. Did you know that you can make this place better? Maybe you're not as broken as you think you are. Maybe you're not as horrible as you think you are. Maybe you have something to give that somebody else doesn't have. And there's a lack in the church because you're not serving. We practically need your help. We need help moving chairs on Wednesday in special events. We need help cutting the field grass at our South Campus. We need help in kids ministry all the time. We need help in serving coffee. We need help with greeters and ushers and hosts and campus hosts and worship and media and sound and tech, video, all of these areas, the areas that you just take for granted. Because right now my mic is working and you can hear me well and my voice isn't super high pitched or echoey. Well, it's those people back there in that booth that you can't see. And it's the people putting stuff on podcasts that you don't know about. But you could know because you could be one of them. We need your help. Practically, Relevant Life Church needs your help. And another aspect of care and service to God's church is this act of prayer. Because when we come and we take this aspect of prayer, if you're praying for somebody else, you're actually taking that person and you're saying, God, I'm laying so-and-so down at your feet. God, they are so broken. God, they are hurting. They need you so much right now. God, the people in my neighborhood, God, Frank next door, man, he's so mean. He hates it when I toss a dog poop in his yard. God, I pray for him. Save his soul. God, I pray for the people that I work with because I can't stand them. Maybe that's your problem. God, I pray for my church. God, I pray for my pastors. God, I pray for the missionaries. that every day have to struggle to bring your word to people that don't understand who you are. That is an act of service. And the last one is give. Give yourselves and your resources. Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. It's 1 Samuel 12:24. Give your time. Serve here. I hope I've made that clear. But not just serve here, serve people. Take somebody to lunch. Yeah, maybe you just got a bonus check. And maybe somebody else needs a little something from you. You're not going to know it unless you know them. Serve here in our community. But with that, serve your family, serve your wife, serve your kids well. Not like I did last night. Serve well. Serve because you love, because Jesus Christ has impacted your life so much that you have so much of this Christ love in you that you can't keep it in. And you're just like, Jesus, I love you so much. Thank you for doing so much for me. How can I help? How can I help you, Jesus? And he says, pray. And he says, do. And you don't just have to serve at Relevant Life Church. There's so many places around town that need your help too. Places that help moms, that help kids, that help youth, homeless. There's so many needs out there. Give of yourselves and your resources. We're back to money again. Back to money. But you give, and you hear it every time. We give because it has an internal impact. So it impacts somebody else. But when you give, you also get an eternal reward. And it doesn't hurt that it's tax deductible. You give your first and you give your best. It's not something that you hold on to and give the extra. Because when you do that, there is no extra. When you don't prioritize the church, when you don't prioritize God in your life, when you don't make him first, there's not much left. And then give your life, just as Christ gave his life, as an example to us. He gave his life on a cross. And yeah, maybe he's not asking you to literally give your life on a cross. Thank God. But maybe he's asking you to be a representative of him, to reflect his image in every aspect of your life. Because what we do matters. What we do matters. And in conclusion, passage of scripture, Colossians 3:23-24 reads, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. This is kind of the aspect of endeavoring. As working for the Lord, not for human masters. So we're putting him first again. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. You will be rewarded for your efforts. So what's your heart response to serving? Can you tithe without tension? Every time we come up here and say, hey, it's time to receive the tithes and offerings. Do you wince? Is there something inside you that goes, maybe next week? Because you're holding on so tight to something that means so much to this world. Do you want all the benefits without the beginning? Do you want the title? Do you want to be up on stage because it's all about you? You want all the benefits, but you're not willing to humbly serve and make it about Jesus. I've got four application questions. The first one is your heart struggling to love others? Because this is a really good soul check right here. If your heart is struggling to love others, then maybe you need to get on your knees with Jesus again and get yourself right and get yourself realigned with who God is. Because God's love will cause you to love. You cannot not love when you're impacted by the true love of Jesus. Second one, how can you begin to place others first in your day? Maybe it's not right when you wake up. I can't do that. But maybe it's soon after. You're like, you know what? I haven't talked to so-and-so for a long time. I'm not just ask them how they're doing. I'm actually going to send them a prayer. I'm going to text them a prayer. Maybe I'm going to invite so-and-so out for lunch, and I'm going to pay this time. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to serve someone today. You guys could take me out to lunch. How do your ears and eyes need to be opened to the need? We've talked about the need at Relevant Life Church. The world has a need. We are the answer because what we do matters. What we do here, what we do outside of this place, what we do matters. How we serve matters. And then the last one, how can you make serving a priority in your life? If you're struggling with this, later on, we're going to have the prayer team come forward. I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit comes into this place and helps your heart realign itself to this aspect of serving, because there's so many benefits that come from serving. The community that you're a part of, the people that you rub shoulders with, the connection that you continue and maintain with God. There's so many benefits. How can you make it a priority in your life? I'm going to ask you guys to stand. And the worship team, we're going to sing a song in closing. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit really comes and speaks to your heart today. And not the conviction of man, not the words that I would say that would bring you to stir or be in some type of service in our church, but the words that the scripture would bring, that the Bible would tell you to serve, that the Holy Spirit would convict you through the use of God's word. So God, I thank you so much for another opportunity to learn more about you through your word. God, through your heart that says, man, I gave you guys so much. Could you possibly step in and help me out a little bit? God, that we would not only just live our lives for ourselves, God, but we would live our lives in service to you, that we would make you the number one priority. God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for everything you've given us. God, let us use those things that you have given us for the betterment of your church, God.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. We hope you were inspired and encouraged by the message. For more information about Relevant Life Church, check out our website at www.relevantlifechurch.net. Or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter under the handle RLC_Salem. Have a blessed day!